We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we are back live on 670 The Score. Happy July 4th. Enjoy yourself. It is fantastic to be with you. We got lines open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You can also text us at that number, 312-644-6767. Here's the question. The Cubs, buyers or sellers? I'm on the record. And it doesn't, hey, listen, this is just me. I'm a fan. I think they need to be buyers. I do not want Jed Hoyer to say, yeah, we're going to sell these players off and get prospects. The Cubs' infrastructure for prospects, it's a solid foundation, okay? They've got the right people in place for these prospects. That's a given, okay? I don't worry about their farm system at all. But I don't want to see more young players coming into the system. I want them to be buyers. I truly do. They can get this wild card, and they're going to be teams in front of them in the Central, okay? They're going to be teams that are going to have a losing streak or two. And that's why this series with the Angels is important. They need to win this series. I'd love it for them to sweep, and they should sweep, but they need to win this series. If they don't win this series, maybe I'll change my tune, but I'm telling you right now, Jed Hoyer, if you're listening, and by the way, if you are, thank you. If you're listening, you need to be a buyer. Go get some talent and help this ball club, help this pitching staff. And I love Mason Miller of Oakland. And even if you have to give away a couple of really good prospects, do it. Because I also think it sends a message inside your clubhouse. Anyway, do we have the cup from Ian Happ? Do we have that ready? Ian Happ had a big ball game today. A couple of three-run homers was outstanding. And what more can you say about the Ian Happ game? 11 total bases. Cubs win it 10-2 over Philadelphia.
I mean, Jamo did a great job from the jump. Went deep into that game, kept him off balance. And then the offense, we put up runs. We did a good job. You know, we get down early, erase the deficit, and then keep adding on. That's a big win for us. You know, everybody's hitting and coming through. Just keep doing that.
Ian, going back about 5 weeks, you had a lot of home runs. You lead the majors in RBIs in that time frame. Can you just talk about the offensive group that you've been in?
Yeah. Guys in front of me getting on, had a chance to hit some home runs with runners scoring position. That's a big part of it. I think, you know, for myself personally, just I didn't drive in a lot of runs in the first month of the year, and being able to make up for that, giving us a chance to win some different spots. But seeing the ball well and trying to have really good at bats.
Doing it from both sides of the play, like what's the significance to
it? Yeah, it's pretty cool. I haven't done that. You know, I've done it one other time in my career. So, to do that, to get an opportunity to do it in the game, and to do it is pretty special. So, you don't think about it in the moment, but after reflect a little bit, that's a cool one for me.
Especially the second one where they bring in a new pitcher and you're switching sides right there in the moment. What are you, as you're kind of watching him warm up, what are you thinking about kind of game planning for that at bat?
I haven't faced him a ton. You know, he obviously closed for them for years and maybe one or two at-bats against him. So just going in there trying to see what he's going to go to in our scoring position. He threw me two good sliders that I had a chance to hit and kind of fouled off. So to be able to get one turned around and make a really good swing on it felt good.
Normally players like yourself don't like to talk about yourself and your accomplishments, but when you and Suzuki are hitting like you are and starting to slug, it means it's a good thing for the team.
Yeah, I mean, any team, middle of the lineup coming through and being able to slug and drive in runs is huge. And so for us, you know, Belly and Saya getting on, was that three times in a row there early in the game, giving us a chance to move runners around and have a chance. You know, for me, hitting the five hole with those two guys ahead of me when they're getting on base makes my job really easy. They've been doing that a lot over the last 2 months. You can't drive in a bunch of runs without the guys in front of you doing their job, and so that's been a lot of fun.
We've seen you have some really hot streaks since you've been here. Did it feel like you were a little overdue for one? Can you ever tell when they're coming?
That's part of putting together a major league season. You know, you're going to have times when things don't feel right. You know, when the wind's blowing in, you're hitting things right into the wind or you're striking a little bit more than you want. And part of that is just believing that it's going to come and you're going to hit one of those hot streaks and get back on track. And so, you know, for me personally, that was early in the year, you know, kind of the first 6 weeks were a struggle and really difficult and challenging, and believing that I was going to get to a place where I kind of right the ship and get back to where I believe I can be.
You guys know where you're at, but when you hear, you know, people whispering, it's Chicago, you've been here for a long time. Is there any extra motivation when people are underestimating what you guys can do?
You know, I don't know about extra motivation. I think, you know, we know how much this fan base expects and how much they deserve. I think they come out every single day, no matter what. I think we had 40 plus here today. You know, and they deserve a really good baseball team. And I think we all in this clubhouse believe that we have that in the tank. You know, it's been a tough stretch, but I think you have a game like today where you put up 10 and feel really good about it. Let's see if we can keep that rolling.
So it's nice. Where do you stand and what a win like this can do?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, we've been looking for one of these for a while now, where we can kind of go out there, everybody contributes, and make it easy on the bullpen. And you know, let's ride that momentum and see what we can do.
All right, that's Ian Happ, the Ian Happ game, so to speak. Over 40,000 Cubs beat the Phillies, a game you heard right here with Pat and Ron and Zach on 670. The score, again, the Cubs 6 out from the third wild card spot in the National League, but only 5 games in the last column as they trail the San Diego Padres. Let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Again, we're on until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's dial it up with Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, happy July 4th. Hope you're doing well.
Hi, Chuck. How are you doing? Happy 4th to you. And when you see Bill Winnington, say hi to him for me.
I did. In fact, I got a text from Bill today, and he's doing very, very well. So I will pass that on. Thank you.
Okay. Speaking of the Cubs, I remember when Don Zimmer once said, the Chicago Cubs are not a last place team. We just got a lot of things to get better, and we are going to be a contending team. And they were up there on top, and they, of course, lost to the Giants back in 1989. I don't like to see a repeat of that. I want to see them get on the top and get go far in the playoffs, and hopefully we can get the World Series back to Chicago.
Well,
like
that's the goal, David. You know what? That is the goal. I appreciate the call. I mean, this is every roster. Let me just say this. Not only in baseball, basketball, football, hockey, you can even talk to the Boston Celtics. Because, for example, you get a World Series winner like Texas a year ago, or the Boston Celtics, or the Florida Panthers. They are sitting around Kansas City in the NFL. They're sitting around. They have meetings. All right, what do we need to do? How do we shore this up? We're going to lose this player, that player, but we've got to bring in X, Y, and Z. There is not one perfect roster in sports. Obviously, talent wins games. You've got to have a good infrastructure, a foundation of not only with your scouts, your front office, your management team, your coaching staff. Everyone needs to be on the same page. Now, Dave, what does that mean? Does that mean you want yes people? Absolutely not. You are never going to win a championship if you're surrounded with yes people. You want people that think outside the box. You want creativity, and you want to, especially in this day and age with analytics, where you get the pure baseball scout combined with analytics for the common goal of making sure that you put together the best possible product on the field for the budget you have. Let me tell you what, the Cubs have a ton of talent. They should be better than what we've seen, and I believe they will be better. And I'm still offering hope that they can get into the wild card. They should be. If they can't win it, they should be a wild card team. Having said that, I am asking Jed Hoyer not to be a seller, but a buyer. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Steve on the northwest side. And, Leo, that's line number 5. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I really wanted to commend you for bringing in the context of the Sutcliffe deal around the same time as that Sandberg game. I've heard so much about the Sandberg game in the last 2 weeks, and, I mean, obviously, that was a huge and important and memorable performance and one that you're going to remember. But I wasn't at the Sandberg game, but I was there the next day when Sutcliffe made his first appearance as a Cub at Wrigley. And that was the third game of that series with the Cardinals, and the Cubs had won the first two. They were going for the sweep, and Sutcliffe, I believe, hit. He went nine innings. He gave up maybe three hits. It was a shutout. He struck out 14. And as a Cardinal fan who had come up with about 50 other, a mixed group of Cubs and Cardinal fans from Central Illinois on a bus trip to be witnessing that and to see, you know, the sea change between what was going on with the Cardinals and Cubs throughout my whole life. You know, the Cardinals always had the upper hand. And that Sutcliffe game really, I mean, that threw it down. Like, that was it. I'm glad you brought it up. I hadn't heard too much more talk about it, and it was a big, big deal.
Well, it was a big deal, a huge deal, because the Cubs really went deep in their farm system to make that trade with Cleveland with the general manager, Phil Seggie. I will say this about Sut. Every time he went to the mound, and not only in 1984, remember in 85, the following year, the Cubs lost almost their entire starting rotation in a two-week span with injury. But one thing about Sut, Sut took the ball. He was the ultimate competitor. I love Sut. In fact, he's my favorite all-time Cub, to be honest with you, because this guy not only competed on the mound, he was awesome to deal with as a human being. And he went 16-1, beat out Doc Gooden for the Cy Young Award, and Gooden had a magnificent season for the Mets. But without Sut, obviously, they don't even come close to winning the East. And remember, during that period of time, it was just the East and the West, and the Cubs won the Eastern Division. They beat the Pirates with Sutcliffe on the mound, and so then the Cubs, of course, beat the Padres or lost to the Padres. They had a 2-0 series lead. The Padres won three straight, and they won that Game 5 in San Diego when the ball went under the glove of Durham. But that fifth game was interesting because it's the same day, Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's rushing record, career rushing record, in the National Football League. The Bears played a home game against the Saints on the same afternoon that the Cubs lost to the Padres. That was unbelievable Sunday in Chicago sports history. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Kara in Mansfield. Kara, welcome, and I believe that's Steve in Elburn. Steve, go ahead.
How's it going? I just wanted to call in and say that I wanted to make a couple comments about you as a broadcaster. I'm 75. I'll be 76 in a year, in a week. So, of course, we're never given tomorrow. The one thing I always regret is that I never got to compliment Chet Kopic, who I think was the father of sports talk in Chicago. And you're not far behind. I remember you back on WGN back in the day. You're well-versed on all subject matters of sports. You're enthusiastic. I mean, I really am a big fan, and I can tell you that if there's a Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports broadcasters, you're going to be right up there, because just that story you told about the Cub game, I mean, that's actually phenomenal. You know, you have to stop. I'm outside working in the lawn, and I stop to listen to your story. And that's what you are. That's why you're great. You're a great broadcaster. Your enthusiasm, I can remember again back, I think, when you started on WGN, it was like, man, who is this guy? So I just wanted to tell you that I compliment you, and I really respect what you do.
Well, you're very kind, Steve, and happy birthday to you, and enjoy July 4th. Thank you. Leaving one line open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Again, we'll have plenty of highlights with the Cubs. We're going to hear from Andy Martinez of Marquee Sports coming up at 6 o'clock in about 45 minutes or so. Speaking of Marquee, and again, you've got great Cubs coverage right here, 670 The Score, with Pat and Ron and Zach. But they're going to have an all-female broadcast booth on Sunday, I believe, against the Angels. And let me just say this. I think it's great. It is fantastic that women, the door is open. Because in my generation, that door was absolutely closed. And I am thrilled that women are having an opportunity to show what skill and what talent, with hard work and perseverance and skill, of course, that door is open. And I'll say this, because I listen to the radio, I watch Cubs baseball. Taylor McGregor is magnificent. She is awesome. And I know she's doing some work on the MLB Network, and she's doing a great job on Marquee. But I'm telling you right now, She hasn't even touched her ceiling. She is great, better than great. And Marquis is very, very fortunate to have her in its stable of broadcasters. All right, we're going to take a break. We have to take a break now. You want to get one more call in, Leo? Let's take one more call, or should we take a break? You tell me. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment right here on 670 The Score, 312-644-6767.
These fans would like to see a Cubs rally. Here comes the 3-1.
Half drives one in the air, deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone! 3-1 home run, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 3-2. A line drive right near the indentation of the wall. And with one swing, Ian Happ has turned this ball game around.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
Hall of Famer Pat Hughes with a play-by-play call. Thank you. Just before that, you played that Odyssey little sports vignette about the New York Rangers. Are you kidding me? Can you get rid of that for a second, Leo? Just throw it away in the audio. I mean, who cares about the New York Rangers? He starts to mention, well, they, you know, it's been a quiet offseason for Chris Drury, and they need a left winger. I don't care about the New York Rangers. I can't even identify with the New York Rangers. I can't even tell you one hockey player on the New York Rangers. I can't. So take that little clip and send it away.
It's gone.
It's
banished.
Gone. Thank you, Leo. I'd rather hear Cub highlights. I'd rather hear from the fans, not about the New York Rangers.
Of course.
Okay. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. If you want to text me, I'm on the air until 8, and you're probably saying, what in the world? Why would The Score put you on the air? You can send emails to Mitch Rosen and Ryan Porth, okay? I'm here because everyone else is barbecuing. They're having fireworks. I mean, Matt Spiegel, he's probably right now flipping burgers, and he's enjoying life with a beverage or whatever they want to have. I mean, you got the dogs, you got the burgers, you know, you got the corn on the cob, and you got the Swirsk on the radio. So, again, the Cubs with a win today, they're 8 under .500. And, again, they're 6 behind the third wild card spot, Padres. San Diego with a win. They have won now 2 in a row. They trail the Dodgers by 7 games. By the way, in the Central, Milwaukee with a 6.5 game lead over the Cardinals. And this is why I want Jed Hoyer to be a buyer and not a seller. Baseball is a long marathon. You got 162 games. You're going to have droughts. I thought early in the season, I thought the Cardinals were dead. I was giving them the last rites. I was Father Swirsk. Amen and Patre Fidio Sanctu. Goodbye. I thought they were dead, Leo. And look at them now. They're 6.5 out. Okay? And so you've got the Reds. And the Reds had a really nice series against the Yankees. Let's see. In the East, Phillies 8.5 game lead over Atlanta. By far, Philly is the best team I've seen in the National League, period. Dodgers by 7 over the Padres. In the American League, you got the Angels coming to town for a weekend series against the Cubs. And again, the Cubs need to sweep this series. Worst case scenario, they win 2 or 3, which they think they'll do. The Angels are horrible. The Angels have lost 3 in a row. They're playing the Athletics. They're 9.5 out, 36-49. The Mariners on again, off again, and now they're off again. They've lost 4 in a row, 7 of 10, and their lead now only 1.5 games over Houston. This is another team, Houston. A few weeks ago, I said, this is it. Their run is over. Look at them now. Houston just 1.5 games out. And then the Central, Cleveland 6 over Minnesota. This is a ball club. You talk about management, and you're talking about making really good decisions, okay? They make a good managerial hire. They've got their farm system in place. Every time you want to put Cleveland, say, well, small market, you know, they just don't have enough. They're going to come back down to earth. They're 54-31, Leo. 54-31. I mean, come on. That's pretty. And then the team that I got to give props to, how about Kansas City? Again, Kansas City, 48-40, 7.5 out in the Central. They are 31-17 at home. Wow. And then you got Baltimore, you got the Yankees. The Yankees are a mess. It's going to be interesting to see. Yankees have lost 8 of 10. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Who do we go to next, Leo? You want to go to where? You want to go to, let's go to Nick in Alabama. Is that right, Nick?
That's right, yeah. He's got a Bulls thought for you.
All right, Nick, you want to talk Bulls?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Thank you. I'm great.
Well, happy fourth. I was just wondering, I mean, I've been a Bulls fan all my life. I'm from Evanston, Illinois, so north side. Always been a Bulls fan. I'm 24, so quite young, so I never got to see the MJ days. But it seems now, you know, we're getting to the point where the team's future is pretty, you know, up in the air. We don't know what's going on with Lonzo, with Zach, or even DeMar right now. And we know, being Chicago sports fans, I mean, everybody today, it's the 4th of July, and everybody's talking Chicago sports, too, so that's really cool. But, you know, everybody's going to support the team no matter what. What do you think are the future steps that, you know, the Bulls should do to kind of bring in more younger players and possibly keep Lonzo? I mean, we've given him 2 years to get healthy, and every year we wanted to bring him back, and now with the news of him possibly leaving, you know, what are the future steps with that and possibly the team with DeMar and everybody else?
Okay, well, here's my take on Lonzo. I think it would be incredible, flat out incredible, if he comes back. And I know he's working hard, and this storyline remains to be seen how it's going to play out. He's got 1 year left, $20 million. Worst case scenario, he can't come back, and the Bulls say, okay, we're gonna have the $20 million in cap space for next year, okay? The best case scenario is that he comes back and plays. So to me, it's a win-win, because this guy is doing everything he can do humanly possible to get back on the floor. It's one thing to, you know, shoot and do dunks and release those film clips and all that stuff. It's another for hard, you know, contact 5-on-5. That's when we'll find out what's up with Lonzo. And again, he's a great guy. I really didn't know him. Okay. I knew of his dad because his dad would, you know, ultimately give these interviews left and right. But, you know, I never met Lonzo until he became a member of the Bulls. And he's a fantastic person. He really is. And he loves the sport. There are guys who like the sport. He loves the sport. So I hope he can come back and play. If not, you know what? You get your $20 million in cap for 25-26. As far as the other components, you know, I think we're seeing a changing of the guard regarding getting young players in, athletic players, by the way, who will come in here and start building for the future. And I want to see Julian Phillips. I want to see a healthy Julian Phillips to find out what he's got in his game, because I liked him at Tennessee for that 1 year, but I think he's got a lot in his bag, and I want to see it. So I thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jerry in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, leaving one line open after we leave our caller from Alabama. Thank you. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. All right, Jerry, what's happening?
Chuck, I remember you when you were on WCFL in 1980 in the evenings listening to you. And that's how I got involved with listening to you. And then you went to GN, and I listened to you on Saturday afternoons.
Yep.
Do you think DeRozan is going to stay with the Bulls?
I would think at this point he is probably going to be with another ball club, because I think he wants to move on, whether it's long-term deal and with a contender. And again, I have not spoken to DeMar, and the club has not released a statement, but based on everything that I'm reading, which is another story because I don't know what to believe, honestly, but by all indications when a writer says that people close to DeMar, it's either DeMar or someone close to DeMar. So I have to take face value that he wants to play elsewhere. And if he does and he leaves, I wish him well. He gave the organization 3 great years. He is a rock-solid human being. awesome leader, awesome person, is headed to the Hall of Fame. So good for him. Thank you. So this, before we go to Scott on line four, let me just say this. You know, I would love to see, I hope people do this as well, because, you know, when you go online, Leo, and you read all these, hey, Zach LaVine is going to Philadelphia. Zach LaVine is going to the Lakers. Zach LaVine is going to Utah. DeMar DeRozan is going to the Clippers. And I'm wondering, wait a minute. And it's always NBA sources, NBA sources, sources close to dot, dot, dot. Who are these sources?
The janitor?
Okay, well, not the janitor, but I mean, who are these people? Because I'll tell you what, I want people to be held accountable.
Put their name back behind what they're saying.
I want to be held accountable. If I go on the air and say something, I better be able to bring it and say, okay, I'm held accountable. But I mean, you got all these people say, well, this player's going here and that player's going there. And look, because like Mikal Bridges, right? He just got traded for five first round picks, right? What were we reading leading up to that trade? Mikal Bridges to Houston. Houston ready to surrender four number one picks. I'm thinking, and all of a sudden out of the blue, it's New York. Okay. No one was writing New York, and it happened. So when people speculate on trades, regardless of what sport, what are we talking about here? So hold these writers accountable. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, you're calling from Arlington Heights. Welcome.
Hey Chuck. Happy 4th. I was at the ball game today at Wrigley, and what a buzz in that stadium today. I agree with you 100%. The Cubs should be buyers. They should go out and try to get some players that will help them. The two things I wanted to call about, though, I want you to hear me out. Two things, like you're pleading with Jed not to be sellers. I want this message to get to Craig Council. Let's put PCA in the leadoff spot and Bat Bellinger behind him. That's one thing. He is the fastest player on the Cubs. Perfect in stolen bases with all the rules changes, the pitch clock. I think that it would ignite the Cubs lineup for that to happen.
Yeah, you know what? I agree because when he's on first base, it's really a double. I mean, when they made the change in the dimensions of the bag, right? These bags look like a mattress now. I mean, God rest his soul. If Lou Brock was playing today, and Maury Wills back in the day when I was growing up as a kid, and they were the two most prolific base stealers in baseball with Brock and Maury Wills. And then on top of that, you had Ricky Henderson coming in later. I mean, in today's world, you know how many stolen bases they would have in a season? It would be unbelievable. So I do agree with you. I like the idea if he can put the bat on the ball and get on base. Because I do believe every time he is on base, he's a threat to not only steal, but as you mentioned, he hasn't been caught once. So it's not really a single. You're looking at probably a double. And if you don't think, a pitcher doesn't think that way, or a catcher or a manager, guess what? They are. So good for him. But again, I'm asking Jed Hoyer, and you know the phones are blowing up. I'm getting all these texts saying, no, they got to have a fire sale, you know, back up the truck, trade everyone. I'm going against that. I'm saying, no, 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 no. I want to be a buyer, not a seller. I want to see some pitching help. I want to see whatever they can do to help this ball club, because I still maintain, come October, this club has the ability to play postseason ball. All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we appreciate you having the dial set. 670 The Score. Cubs winners today. But for the Phillies, 10-2. Hep with two three-run dingers. He has six RBIs. That's a career high. Also career high, 11 total bases. White Sox fell to Cleveland 8-4. We'll give you more updates in just a few minutes. Getting some calls, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Also, our text. And I got a text saying, Chuck, do you have a bizarre baseball story? A bizarre baseball story. I got one for you, Leo Stoudaker, our producer. Leo, how about this one? Speaking of the Cubs back in the day. So I told you I did a weekly show with Dallas Green, then the general manager of the Cubs. And so in 1984, and in fact, we're going to have the Sandberg show, salute to Sandberg, coming up at 8, so this is a good tie-in. Jim Fry, it comes down to Jim Fry or Joe Torre to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. The final two, Jim Fry, who managed Kansas City to the American League pennant, only to lose to Dallas Green, who is then the manager of the Phillies in the 80 World Series. And so now Dallas hires the guy he beat the World Series 4 years later. So Jim Fry is the manager. Now, all of a sudden, fast forward 1986. And I could tell when I would meet with Dallas in his office, he was getting a little bit impatient, not too happy how the ball club was being run on the field with Jim. And he was thinking about making a managerial move. And so about a few days before the announcement, and I knew it was happening. I didn't know the date, but I knew it was happening. He goes, Chuck, I'm just telling you, I'm going to hire a guy that you're very familiar with. And I'm thinking, very familiar with? And I'm thinking, it's Jeff Torborg. Because I had known Jeff for many, many years, a former manager of the Cleveland Indians, at that time known as the Indians, now the Guardians. And so I'm thinking, wow, this will be great. And the irony of it is that Torborg went on to manage the White Sox, actually. But anyway, so now the Cubs call a press conference, and they hire Gene Michael, who was the manager of the Columbus Clippers when I was doing the play-by-play in the International League before I came to Chicago. So I'm thinking, well, this will be interesting. Dallas Green and Gene Michael. And it was a disaster, a flat-out disaster. And so I asked Dallas, I said, Dallas, did you know Gene? No. But I talked to George Steinbrenner about him, and he signed off on him. And Gene Michael was a really good evaluator of talent, excellent evaluator. I mean, he could scout. He was a good GM, but he loved to scout. That was his thing. He was one of the all-time greats in terms of just looking at a player and saying, here's what I think about that player. Here's where his ceiling's at. Here are the good things I like about him. Here are some things not so. And in fact, there was a trade in the works that with Detroit, and they were going to send Andy Pettit to the Tigers, and he said, if you make this deal, I'm out of here. And sure enough, they didn't make the deal. But I said, Dallas, how'd you come to? He goes, well, I read about him. I said, you what? He goes, yeah, I read about him. I was looking through guys in the Green Book and the Red Book, which was the baseball directories of managers and coaches. And you know, he has a good baseball background. And that's how they hired a manager. He had never met him. And he hired him. Now, think about this. In today's day and age, with so many microphones and TV and internet and cell phones, can you imagine a GM going in front of the media saying, well, I never met him, but I hired him? Oh, no, you couldn't do that. But back in 1986, he did. So good for him. Hey, before we get to some more text and phone lines at 312-644-6767, a little shout out to Carl Allegretti. He is listening. Carl's son, Nick, just signed with the Commanders, and he left the Chiefs. How many rings did Nick pick up? Like three? I mean, he was a really good player from the University of Illinois, Chicago kid. Now he's going to Washington. I really like what they're doing, you know. They have a brand new ownership, brand new management, you know, new coaching staff. They got it done. I can't wait for Bears football. Do we have to take a break? Or are we good? Okay, so here's my Bears story, and we'll get into the Bears. I love Bears football. I can't wait for the Bears. And you want wall-to-wall coverage, you're going to get it right here on 670 The Score, whether it's with Mully and Haw and Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson Spiegel. They've got everything. So on the free Odyssey app, follow 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you may go. And wherever we're going is to training camp. And they are going to, I mean, this place is going to go crazy, this station, about the Bears. So I'm Ed O'Hare, and I see Ryan Poles. And I introduced him to me. You know, he doesn't know me. I don't know him other than the fact that what he's done, and he's a public figure, obviously, with the Bears. He's profiled a lot in radio and TV, on the internet, you know, interviews, the whole bit. And but he also went to a number of Bulls games. And so I went up to him and I said, hey, you know what? I got to tell you something. I actually bought a Caleb Williams jersey. I did. I spent $180 on a Caleb. It's not authentic because the authentic is like way out of my price range. I mean, that's like $350. And while I would love one, no, I got a budget too, you know. I gotta prepare for the day the Bulls pull the plug on me. So, but I mean, I bought a Caleb Williams jersey, and I told him, I said, you know, like, I'm not some 25-year-old guy going into a bar on a Sunday watching a game. Nothing's wrong with that, but I'm not 25 anymore. And I said, but I want to let you know, this town is so amped for the Chicago Bears, which they are. Hub Arkush is going to be with us. Our Bears beat reporter at 640 right here on 670 The Score. Do you have any idea, Leo, what Joe Bag of Donuts, which is me, but do you have any idea right now the pulse of this city about the Bears is going crazy? This is like almost like the 85 Bears, like the window when they started really getting good in the 84 season. They went to the NFC Championship game, lost in San Francisco 23-0, and they made a vow in that locker room. I was there at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. The Bears players said, guess what? Next year, we're not coming back home. We're going straight to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And they marched through the playoffs, beat the Giants, beat the Rams, destroyed New England. And that window, and I think they would have won more had they had stability at quarterback, but the fan base here for the Bears is going wacko. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say this is like the same type buzz that they had around like 2018, 2019, when they had that good team that lost to the Eagles, and then that season after. There's that probably even more excitement now, though, with the quarterback and everything.
Yes, and the toys with the quarterback. I mean, they are loaded. I mean, the Bears went to work, and what they did, the trade they made with Carolina 2 years ago, one of the all-time, if not the most lopsided deal in the history of the National Football League. They fleeced Carolina, with all due respect to Young, who I hope has a good career with the Panthers, but they fleeced Carolina, period. Flat out fleeced them. I mean, this is more lopsided and one-sided in the history of the NFL than the Herschel Walker deal with Minnesota and Dallas. I'm serious. I mean, that was unbelievable. Also, the John Hadle deal with Green Bay, when Green Bay gave up two first-round picks for an aging, over-the-hill quarterback who was a really good football player once with the Chargers, then he went to the Rams. But let me tell you what, this trade with Carolina, big dividends that will keep being unbelievable for a good decade plus. And Caleb Williams is the real deal. This kid gets it. I mean, he's polished. He's confident, not cocky, but confident. And you know what? He was a millionaire while he was playing ball at USC. All these commercials he was in, whether it was Dr. Pepper or whether it was Wendy's or other stuff he was doing. Let me tell you what. This guy knows how to, in front of a camera, He is a professional in every sense of the word. He gets it. I mean, he's going to White Sox games, Cubs games. He's giving high-five to fans. He gets it. He's doing the claw for the bear down. I'm serious. He's a brand within a brand. And the Bears are a brand. And Caleb Williams is a big brand. And it's going to get bigger. You wait. I'm going to give this kid some time. I'm going to let him do his thing. He's going to have some ups. He's going to have some downs. He's going to throw picks. But at the end of the day, this guy is a winner. So that's all I got to say. Do we have to take a break? Or are we good? Okay. I'm glad you're here because I have no clue what I'm doing. I really don't. I'm just a guy sitting in. We got, 2 hours left? So we're going to hear from Andy Martinez in a few minutes. Andy works, of course, as the Cubs reporter. We'll talk about the Cubs. And I got to get on my soapbox because I'm telling you right now that, you know, I am all in. I am all in on being a buyer. I don't want to be a seller with the Cubs. So we'll take a break. We'll have more after this. 670 The Score.
Tworski on 670 The Score.
And we appreciate you having the dial set. 670 The Score. Cubs winners today over the Phillies 10-2. Happ with 2-3 run dingers. He has 6 RBIs. That's a career high. Also career high, 11 total bases. White Sox fell to Cleveland 8-4. We'll give you more updates in just a few minutes. Getting some calls, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Also, our text. And I got a text saying, Chuck, do you have a bizarre baseball story? A bizarre baseball story. I got one for you, Leo Stoudaker, our producer. Leo, how about this one? Speaking of the Cubs back in the day. So I told you I did a weekly show with Dallas Green, then the general manager of the Cubs. And so in 1984, and in fact, we're going to have the Sandberg show, salute to Sandberg, coming up at 8, so this is a good tie-in. Jim Fry, it comes down to Jim Fry or Joe Torre to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. The final two, Jim Fry, who managed Kansas City to the American League pennant, only to lose to Dallas Green, who is then the manager of the Phillies in the 80 World Series. And so now Dallas hires the guy he beat the World Series 4 years later. So Jim Fry is the manager. Now, all of a sudden, fast forward 1986, and I could tell when I would meet with Dallas in his office, he was getting a little bit impatient, not too happy how the ball club was being run on the field with Jim. And he was thinking about making a managerial move. And so about a few days before the announcement, and I knew it was happening. I didn't know the date, but I knew it was happening. He goes, Chuck, I'm just telling you, I'm going to hire a guy that you're very familiar with. And I'm thinking, very familiar with? And I'm thinking, it's Jeff Torborg. Because I had known Jeff for many, many years, a former manager of the Cleveland Indians, at that time known as the Indians, now the Guardians. And so I'm thinking, wow, this will be great. And the irony of it is that Torborg went on to manage the White Sox, actually. But anyway, so now the Cubs call a press conference and they hire Gene Michael, who was the manager of the Columbus Clippers when I was doing the play-by-play in the International League before I came to Chicago. So I'm thinking, well, this will be interesting. Dallas Green and Gene Michael. And it was a disaster, a flat-out disaster. And I asked Dallas, I said, Dallas, did you know Gene? No. But I talked to George Steinbrenner about him, and he signed off on him. And Gene Michael was a really good evaluator of talent, excellent evaluator. I mean, he could scout. He was a good GM, but he loved to scout. That was his thing. He was one of the all-time greats in terms of just looking at a player and saying, here's what I think about that player. Here's where his ceiling's at. Here are the good things I like about him. Here are some things not so. And in fact, there was a trade in the works that with Detroit, and they were going to send Andy Pettitte to the Tigers, and he said, if you make this deal, I'm out of here. And sure enough, they didn't make the deal. But I said, Dallas, how'd you come to? He goes, well, I read about him. I said, you what? He goes, yeah, I read about him. I was looking through guys in the Green Book and the Red Book, which was the baseball directories of managers and coaches. And you know, he has a good baseball background, and that's how they hired a manager. He had never spoken to him. He had never met him, and he hired him. Now think about this: in today's day and age, with so many microphones and TV and internet and cell phones, can you imagine a GM going in front of the media saying, "Well, I never met him, but I hired him." No, you couldn't do that. But back in 1986, he did. So good for him. Hey, before we get to some more text and phone lines at 312-644-6767, a little shout out to Carl Allegretti. He is listening. Carl's son, Nick, just signed with the Commanders, and he left the Chiefs. How many rings did Nick pick up? Like three? I mean, he was a really good player from the University of Illinois, Chicago kid. Now he's going to Washington. I really like what they're doing, you know. They have a brand new ownership, brand new management, you know, new coaching staff. They got it done. I can't wait for Bears football. Do we have to take a break? Or are we good? Okay, so here's my Bears story, and we'll get into the Bears. I love Bears football. I can't wait for the Bears. And you want wall-to-wall coverage, you're going to get it right here on 670 The Score, whether it's with Mully and Haw and Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson Spiegel. They've got everything. So on the free Odyssey app, follow 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you may go. And wherever we're going is to training camp. And they are going to, I mean, this place is going to go crazy, this station, about the Bears. So I'm at O'Hare, and I see Ryan Poles. And I introduced him to me. You know, he doesn't know me. I don't know him other than the fact that what he's done, and he's a public figure, obviously, with the Bears. He's profiled a lot in radio and TV, on the internet, you know, interviews, the whole bit. And but he also went to a number of Bulls games. And so I went up to him and I said, hey, you know what? I got to tell you something. I actually bought a Caleb Williams jersey. I did. I spent $180 on a it's not authentic because the authentic is like way out of my price range. I mean, that's like $350. And while I would love one, I got a budget too, you know. I gotta prepare for the day the Bulls pull the plug on me. So, but I mean, I bought a Caleb Williams jersey, and I told him, I said, you know, like I'm not some 25-year-old guy going into a bar on a Sunday watching a game. Nothing's wrong with that, but I'm not 25 anymore. And I said, but I want to let you know, this town is so amped for the Chicago Bears, which they are. Hub Arkush is going to be with us. Our Bears beat reporter at 640 right here on 670 The Score. Do you have any idea, Leo, what Joe Bag of Donuts, which is me, but do you have any idea right now the pulse of this city about the Bears is going crazy? This is like almost like the 85 Bears, like the window when they started really getting good in the 84 season. They went to the NFC Championship game, lost in San Francisco 23-0, and they made a vow in that locker room. I was there at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. The Bears players said, guess what? Next year, we're not coming back home. We're going straight to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And they marched through the playoffs, beat the Giants, beat the Rams, destroyed New England. And that window, and I think they would have won more had they had stability at quarterback, but the fan base here for the Bears is going wacko. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say this is like the same type buzz that they had around like 2018, 2019, when they had that good team that lost to the Eagles. And then that season after, there's that probably even more excitement now, though, with the quarterback and everything.
Yes. And the toys with the quarterback. I mean, they are loaded. I mean, the Bears went to work, and what they did, the trade they made with Carolina 2 years ago, one of the all-time, if not the most lopsided deal in the history of the National Football League. This is, they fleeced Carolina, with all due respect to Young, who I hope has a good career with the Panthers, but they fleeced Carolina, period. Flat out fleeced them. I mean, this is more lopsided and one-sided in the history of the NFL than the Herschel Walker deal with Minnesota and Dallas. I'm serious. I mean, that was unbelievable. Also, the John Hadle deal with Green Bay, when Green Bay gave up two first-round picks for an aging, over-the-hill quarterback who was a really good football player once with the Chargers, then he went to the Rams. But let me tell you what, this trade with Carolina, big dividends that will keep being unbelievable for a good decade plus. And Caleb Williams is the real deal. This kid gets it. I mean, he's polished. He's confident, not cocky, but confident. And you know what? He was a millionaire while he was playing ball at USC. All these commercials he was in, whether it was Dr. Pepper or whether it was Wendy's or other stuff he was doing, let me tell you what, this guy knows how to, in front of a camera, he is a professional in every sense of the word. He gets it. I mean, he's going to White Sox games, Cubs games. He's giving high-five to fans. He gets it. He's doing the claw for the bear down. I'm serious. He's a brand within a brand. And the Bears are a brand. And Caleb Williams is a big brand. And it's going to get bigger. You wait. I'm going to give this kid some time. I'm going to let him do his thing. He's going to have some ups. He's going to have some downs. He's going to throw picks. But at the end of the day, this guy is a winner. So that's all I got to say. Do we have to take a break? Or are we good? Okay. I'm glad you're here because I have no clue what I'm doing. I really don't. I'm just a guy sitting in. We got, 2 hours left? So we're going to hear from Andy Martinez in a few minutes. Andy works, of course, as the Cubs reporter. We'll talk about the Cubs. And I got to get on my soapbox because I'm telling you right now that, you know, I am all in. I am all in on being a buyer. I don't want to be a seller with the Cubs. So we'll take a break. We'll have more after this. 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.